Breaking news, Trump's approval rating among Gen Z has rapidly collapsed. To break this down, I'm joining friend of the show, Cameron Caskey. You guys are going to love this episode. Make sure you check out Cameron below. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed and watch this.
Trump is losing Gen Z fast, and it's a sight to behold, but we all kind of knew it was going to happen. My name is Cameron Caskey with Bulwark. I'm joined today by my brother, Adam Mockler. Adam, did you see this coming?
It was patently obvious when Trump made a bunch of campaign promises that were all inherently contradictory and impossible to execute on. And what is it? A 44-point drop in popularity among Gen Z. I mean, to be honest, he gaslit Gen Zers during the campaign. He gaslit the country and made all of these economic promises, promises to end wars. He gets into office, obviously doesn't have the acumen to enact any of this, to end any of these wars, but he's made it worse. 70% of Americans think he should focus more on lowering prices. Meanwhile, he's screaming about Obama and he's enacting tariffs worldwide. So let's talk about some of the issues.
Yeah, and he's also definitely part of a huge pedophile network. CBS News poll says Trump's approval trends among ages 18 to 29. Early February, 55% approve, 45% disapprove. But now in July, we see 28% approve, as you said, a 44-point drop. And 72% disapprove. That is not a marginal error. That is a pretty dramatic drop. And I want to talk about why Gen Z is changing tune on it. And I also want to talk about why I think the reasons Trump won and the reasons Kamala Harris lost are not necessarily the same exact thing. But first off, it's like, what do you think is the biggest issue he's losing people on? Because I don't think Gen Z's Trump shift was as policy related as it was kind of cultural and generally ideological or whatever. But I'm interested in knowing what you think, if people were polled, the top issue he's fucking up on is.
In order to answer that question, why he's being increasingly unpopular, we have to go back and answer the original question that you were going to pose, which is, why was he popular in the first place? Why was he even above water by a few percentage points? That is because Gen Zers, a lot of people in the country, want a change agent, want someone that can push against the status quo. I think Kamala ran a pretty solid campaign. I covered it. I was, you know, talking about her every single day and how I enjoyed her policies. I enjoyed it. But like, she didn't run as a change agent. There was even a moment where she said she wasn't going to be significantly different than Biden, and that went viral. Meanwhile, Donald Trump obviously lied every single day, said he was going to shake up the system. He was going to release the files and end the wars. And he was going to do tariffs, which nobody else has done in 100 years. So he was going to shake everything up. So Gen Zers thought, there is a change agent who is in the spaces that I watch. I mean, they watch like Joe Rogan. We watch like Theo Vaughn or whatever. And then when you begin to watch that, Trump is on there, not really using his radical rhetoric, but kind of just toning it down a bit. So Gen Zers thought they were gaslit and they're thinking that maybe Trump would lower the cost of housing. That's what he said. Now, obviously, we didn't believe that, but some people did. As time's gone on, what has he done? He's not ended a single war. Housing prices are going to go up because of the tariffs on lumber coming from Canada. You can look at no new wars, which he struck Iran. He said he was going to release the files. He's only created a deeper swamp that can now cover up the files. So,
and he also doesn't even understand his own war policy because, you know, he said he was going to end Russia-Ukraine in one day. Obviously, that didn't happen. He was scrambling a lot on the matter, doing his we'll figure out in 2 weeks thing, 2 weeks after 2 weeks after 2 weeks. And now you see he's taking this shift towards maybe supporting Ukraine a little bit more and saying that Putin is kind of like a lying snake and a fake friend and everything like that. And it's just so surprising to me because I knew that Trump wasn't going to end Russia-Ukraine. But if and when that was the case, I thought that he was just going to take this aggressively Putin stance. But now he's like, wait a second, I got hoodwinked. And I think this might be one of the most prime examples of Trump not being able to hide realizing that he got screwed over in front of everybody. Like, this is one of Trump's most transparent, I got duped moments. But it's interesting that you say all that about the change agent stuff. It kind of brings to mind the Zoran Cuomo race, where you see Zoran obliterate Cuomo and you look at just the basic idea of the campaign and you've got one potential mayor saying, I want to change things in this city. And then you've got Andrew Cuomo running on the idea that everything is actually working and I'm just going to keep it that way. There was no real sense of what he was going to do to change anything. But now I'm wondering, if Trump is losing Gen Z, how can he win them back?
how can Trump win Gen Z back? I honestly think what Gen Z wants is so antithetical to what Trump wants, and it's just impossible. So part of the reason why Gen Z was able to be swayed over is because during some of our most formative years, sometimes people weren't paying attention. So people who just turned 18 in the 2024 election, they were 10 when Trump was first elected. So during those formative years, they were probably in middle school, high school, as we were. I was paying attention, and I'm sure you were, because we're politically inclined. But a lot of Gen Zers were just kind of entering politics, voting for the first time, and thought maybe Trump would be this change agent. But now we're seeing him in action, and he's so antithetical to what we want, because we want a better future for ourselves. He wants to conserve things. He wants a regressive policy that only helps him and his billionaire friends. Like I was, when I was debating Kevin O'Leary, the billionaire on Shark Tank, he kept talking about, I was debating him on CNN. He's from Shark Tank.
Can you imagine if you went on Shark Tank to just in front of all the sharks, go at it with Kevin O'Leary? Maybe he'll invite you over.
Debating them. Yeah.
That was a great clip, by the way. It seemed like you were fucking vibing up there. Like, you seemed like you were having a great time.
But the point is, and I wish I would have been able to make this on stage, but I was thinking about it more after. He kept bringing up the stock market over and over and over, saying he's doing great. Check your portfolio. Look at my portfolio. And it's like, dude, you're missing the point. Most Americans don't have $500 to cover an emergency, and you're sitting up here on TV talking about how well your portfolio is doing. So when that relates to Gen Zers, it's like Trump and his billionaire friends want to gloat about how much they're benefiting from this. But dude, the cost of living is going to go up. 70% of Americans, like I said, want him to focus more on prices, and Trump is currently taking Qatari jets and promoting Trump coin.
One of the interesting things to me about how many people Trump is losing, especially in Gen Z, but really across the board, is the fact that he's also losing the podcast bros who were so credited with giving him the victory in 2024 anyway. I mean, you've got Joe Rogan going after him about ICE. You've got Theo Von talking about Palestine. You've got, what's his name? The guy with the stupid mustache, Andrew Schultz. Schultz talking about how AOC, Bernie, and Zohran are the America First candidates. And it's like Trump's massive cultural victory has blown up in his face so aggressively, he can't even hold the people who aren't policy experts. It's not just the people who look at his tariffs and say this is a disaster who are turning against Trump. It's also just the people who are only in it for the vibes.
Yeah, I agree. I would not underestimate the extent to which ICE and the immigration policy has affected Trump's popularity. There's another poll showing that he's dropped 10 to 12 points in popularity just over the past few months on immigration. And that's supposed to be his biggest issue.
That's the thing, is like, even in 2016, like, this man ran three presidential campaigns basically on getting rid of the immigrants. And then he does exactly what he says he was going to do. And people are like, well, that's not what I wanted.
There's a difference between what people think they want and what they actually want a lot of the times. You see this with like universal healthcare. There's a lot of polling where like 90% of Americans want some form of universal. It's like 80 to 90%, some outrageous number. But then when you get into it and you're like, this necessitates actually doing this and that, people's views on it change a little bit. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try, but there's a difference between what people say they want and what they vote for versus what they're actually willing to give up. So now that they're actually seeing the on the ground consequences of ICE hitting this quota of 3,000 deportations a day, or sorry, 3,000 detainments a day that will lead to deportations, they're not happy with it, because to hit 3,000, you're not just going to hit criminals. There's not 3,000 criminals to detain a day. You're going to start to hit the farm workers. You're going to start to hit the 82-year-old grandpas. That's a real story, by the way. An 82-year-old grandpa got effing deported. His family was like, what the hell? And then the most disgusting part, and I keep making this point, but the most disgusting part is when people who are asylum seekers and following the proper procedures show up to their courthouse for their day in court. They've been waiting for a while. They're like, yes, I want to follow the rules in this country. We show up and deport them. Not we, but ICE. I'm the Trump administration. It's disgusting.
I was going to say, man, you should really stop doing that in that case. You should go back to debating Mr. Wonderful.
Not we.
That's been my question, sort of, is like, you know, it's very nice to see the Zoomers kind of waking up to the Trump stuff. If only it had happened like, you know, 8 months beforehand, we'd be in a better situation. But like, or honestly, like, God, it's been so fucking long. I saw it was the 1 year anniversary of the Harris campaign the other day, and it really put into perspective, like, oh, she had no time to do this.
Yeah.
That was so crazy. But anyway, Trump loses the Zoomers, and I'm starting to wonder what little goodies he's going to try to bribe us with to get us back. Because when Trump loses a base, when he fucks up, excuse me, F's up with a crowd, he normally tries to give everyone sort of a present. It's this kind of MAGA tactic of cut people, watch them say, ow, give them a tiny little Band-Aid, and make it act like you did something nice for them. So like, maybe he's going to do something like what Kamala Harris pledged to do, you know, $15,000-$20,000 for people trying to buy a starter home. Maybe he's going to try to make some sort of present for Gen Z. It was attached to the big, ugly bill, the, no tax on tips thing. That was supposed to be sort of like a generous gift to people. Do you think he's going to try to sweeten the deal for us a little bit and say, hey, Zoomers, here's a present from Donald Trump so you can remember how much I love you?
No, I don't think he cares. I honestly think he's already using a meat shield, and it's Obama. He's literally trying to put Obama in front of him by saying like, oh, Obama's a treasonous traitor, but it's really uniquely weak. Like if you're in the bottom 10 percentile of IQ in the country, maybe you'll believe it. Maybe you'll be like, huh, Obama, treasonous. Like a decade and a half later, I'm glad Trump found that out right when the Epstein files were beginning to gain steam. But for the rest of the country, like the other 90% will be like, wait a minute, why is Trump screaming about Obama in the Oval Office when Obama was quite a good president, who's obviously flawed in some ways, but he was quite a good president, a great guy, very charismatic. I just don't know like how, I don't know how this Epstein to Obama distraction is supposed to play out. And you can tell that he's intentionally trying to divert people away. It's like sleight of hand, like a magician. But Gen Z is not going to fall for that. We don't froth of the mouth for Obama conspiracy theories.
A lot of my Trump apologist Zoomer friends, not necessarily pro-Trump, but certainly not, you know, like making Trump vids on YouTube like us type of guys. Even they're like, this Epstein stuff is pretty crazy, right? Yeah. And I'm just sitting here like, we knew. We've known this. Like, I don't know. Anyway, leave a comment down below on how you think Donald Trump might win back the Zoomers. Adam, thanks so much for joining me today. Bless you, sir. Keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
Let's keep ripping it. Thank you, man.